Okay, so we're going to have a little bit of fellowship concerning the gospel. So we have a sheet in front of us which was made in fellowship and some principles behind the gospel. So I think you'll enjoy this. This is kind of practical. You know, in a lot of the things that we touch, we are not here for theology. We're here for the living out of the life that's inside of us. And so to do that, we're kind of merging two different realms. We're merging this divine and mystical realm that's in our spirit with a outward realm, material and physical in nature. That takes a little bit of practice. It's not as easy as it sounds. So sometimes you need handles. Actually, I was with a brother. He was migrating to China. He migrated from China to Africa. He was in Ghana. Okay, so and I was greeting him over there recently. And he came and he had luggage. He brought like 5 suitcases, but he got all this luggage from China. So once he got there, they were all brand new. All the handles were ripped off. The first trip he made with them, all the handles ripped off. You know? So he had all this luggage. He had like 4 or 5 different bags, big bags. And every one of the handles were ripped off, you know? I was like, wow, you got to buy something made outside of China. But it's very hard to move things without handles, right? So we'd like to get some handles. So in this time, we're grabbing some handles. We didn't talk about that many handles in the last message. So we're going to get into some handles. So we're going to be doing a good bit of reading, and we're kind of going to move at this or through this at a good pace. So just get your lips ready, okay? We're reading together. And reading helps you not fall asleep. Okay, so let's all read the title together. Principles on the Gospel. Okay, the first point. The Spirit of the Gospel. Now, why don't we have sisters read this one to us? Amen.
Only a few people are raised up every 10 to 20 years in the ministry of the church who have the gift of the gospel. These people are few and far between, but everyone who loves the Lord can and should have the spirit of preaching the gospel. It is not limited to special gifts.
Amen. Isn't that very good? A lot of times we may discount our need to speak the gospel by virtue of what we see to be our disposition. But we need to realize it's not a matter of who you are. With your divine birth, you got another disposition, and that disposition can speak to people. There should be a spirit of the gospel amongst us, you know? We don't have that many gifted people in the gospel, but we can all have that kind of spirit, okay? Why don't we do point two? Brothers, yeah. Pray. To preach the gospel is to plunder Satan's house. It is not a light matter and requires much prayer. Not only should we pray before going out on the gospel, but we should have times to confess our sins and have thorough dealings with the Lord to make sure there is nothing blocking our fellowship with Him. This may also include taking care of offenses with others. Okay, so when we preach the gospel, it really requires your person to be right. Like the tube should not have any barriers in it. We need to be those who realize, actually, a lot of times when there's a fruitlessness in our labor, it's a product of our person not being right. So we should have this kind of expectation, Lord, I need to pray. I go to you. And we should be burdened with the desperation that Ryan mentioned last time, right? Life or death. Lord, I will not go to you empty-handed. I need fruit. What is it? Who is it? Samuel's mother, Hannah? What did she pray? Was it Hannah the person? Give me fruit or I die. We need to have that kind of desperation to us. Okay? And that would back us into a life of prayer. Okay, let's split this next one up. Let's read it together, the point three. Practice, practice, practice. Okay, now let's do brothers read a sentence, sisters read a sentence. D.L. Moody was very good at leading men to salvation. One day he went to bed, and then he remembered that he had not preached the gospel to anyone yet.
What should he do?
He changed his clothes and went out again to look for someone he could speak to. Where could he find anyone at such an hour?
You must believe in the Lord.
The policeman was in a bad mood over something at that moment, and he scolded Moody angrily, saying, "You do not have something better to do than persuade me to believe in Jesus in the middle of the night." But the policeman was touched by Moody's word. Amen. And then let's read this verse, brothers. Practice these things, be in them, that your progress may be manifest to all. So, really, the gospel is just a matter of practice. It's a matter of building it up. I went out on the gospel, maybe it was a year or two ago, with some guys, and we broke up in two groups. And I was with one brother, and then two brothers were there, and we just went out. And actually, these two brothers, we were on campus, there were lots of people, you know. But we came back together at one point after about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and we were like, "How's it going? Who did he speak to?" They're like, "Well, we didn't speak to anybody." They walked the whole time, and they actually had gotten caught in a bunch of, actually one of the brothers had come to the college training. He got caught up in a bunch of the principles of preaching the gospel. He was like, "Well, you know, we couldn't do it to this person because they're on the phone, or this person was this, and this person was..." They discounted everybody. And they didn't speak to anybody in 40 minutes. Eventually I just said, "You just got to practice. Just start speaking to people. The first person that you see is the right person to speak to. The next person you see is the right person to speak to. Just begin to practice." Practice means a lot, especially in the gospel. You just learn people. It's all a matter of practice. Okay, let's read the next one. Let's read the title together, or the bolded portion together. Three stories: his, hers, yours, and his. Okay, I'm going to read this. Be prepared to listen to his, her story. Learn how to share something of your testimony. Learn how to share parts of your testimony in set amounts of time: 1 minute, 3 minutes, etc. Also learn how to speak something of the Lord's story. Okay, I hope this comes in you, rises up in you again and again when you're speaking to people. Learn to listen to them. Learn to wait. Empty yourself of what is in your head and wait for them. And then, at a right time, learn to tell something of your story, your testimony. And then at a certain point, something of his, capital H, story, the Lord's story. So, his story, your story, and then the Lord's story. Different, the timing might be different for different things, but learn. These are the basic three ingredients that you want when you're speaking to somebody, okay? All right, let's, I'm monitoring the time. We're going to have some testimonies after this of different ones who have had experience in the gospel, and they're learning, and they're both in college and outside of college. And so, I'm not going to take up all your time. But I'm finding that we're progressing a little more slower than I thought through this. So why don't we accelerate a little bit? Okay, sowing. Or let's read the next bolded point together. Sowing and reaping. Let's read this paragraph together. On the gospel, we are either sowing or reaping. When we are sowing, we should believe that others may at a later time reap from the seeds we sow. When we find ourselves reaping, that is finding open to us receiving the Lord and coming into the church, we should realize that others have gone before us. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest. And we have these verses that are in John 4. This is the story of the Samaritan woman that the Lord meets at the well, and he interacts with her. And then he afterwards goes and he's speaking to his disciples, and he mentions these verses, you know. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. You know what the Samaritan woman was? She was somebody else's labor. Actually, the Jews had sowed the word in there. So when the Lord spoke to that woman, he was actually reaping. This is an important principle. When you're speaking to people, realize somebody else has already sowed something in this person, perhaps. Or you just need to sow something into this person. You're in one of these two categories. Don't try to take the ball from one court to the other. You know, just realize you are either sowing a seed, drop it and let it go, or you're harvesting. When you harvest, you realize, I don't get any glory. I didn't do all the work. This is the work of the Lord. I'm just harvesting what somebody else has done. Now, this is very helpful in terms of calibrating your expectations, right? We're not looking for glorious, miraculous salvation stories every time. A lot of times, you're just sowing the seed of life into people, okay? Let's read the next bold point together. Vitamin G. I love this point. Okay, let's read this again together. Vitamin G. Okay, all of us need vitamin G. Okay, let's read what it says here. Is vitamin G. It activates so many positive things in our being. We realize we do not know the truth, how short we are of Christ. It helps us to understand man's condition, and it brings us joy when someone is saved. So the first person that gets helped when you go out to preach the gospel is yourself. Okay? Even if every door is closed, even if every person rejects you openly and outrightly, you got saved. I don't know if you guys have had this kind of experience, but I just get so filled with joy when I speak to somebody. And actually, the harder the rebuke, the more glory rests upon me, you know? It's wonderful. It fills you with joy. Actually, there's another quote that wasn't put in here, but Brother Lee said, you know, the church is weak. You know why the church is weak? Because the church doesn't preach the gospel. You know why you're weak? Because you don't preach the gospel. We like to say, Lord, make me strong, and then I'll preach the gospel. The Lord actually says, preach the gospel, then you'll be strong. So we just need to learn. The gospel is mainly for us. It solves so many of our problems. Learn to speak. Speak the gospel. Okay? Let's read the next bold together. Don't judge people by their outward appearance. You never know who has been prepared as a son of peace. Amen. We just have no idea who's out there. You know what I mean? And some of you guys may have it's a Jesus story. You know what I mean? You probably don't know some of us. Anyways, been in different places. You know what I mean? You never know whether somebody is the right person. I remember when I was in California, at one point I met somebody, and he was a gangbanger in one of the gangs in L.A., and he had a do-rag. He had to wear a do-rag all the time, and not because he thought it stylish, but because he'd gotten shot up. So he had had 7 bullets put into him, and so like one went through his head, and then about 3 or 4 went in his back and his legs. And anyways, so he had a kind of a rough life, but I ended up having great fellowship with this guy. Turned out he liked poetry, and I liked the Bible. So he would read me poetry, and I'd read him the Bible. It worked out marvelously. His name was Marvin Monterosa, and I still pray for Marvin. You know what I mean? That was like 8 or 9 years ago, maybe longer. But you never know. You never know who you're going to meet. And don't judge by the outward veneer what's going on inside. So this is a big point. Okay, next bold. Crazy with thick skin. Okay, let's read that one again. I like that. Crazy with thick skin. Okay, let's read this together. There are two prerequisites for preaching the gospel. The first prerequisite is to be crazy for the gospel. Whoever preaches the gospel must be crazy. A person who is not crazy cannot preach the gospel. It is difficult for a person who is very rational to lead people to salvation. Preaching the gospel requires us to be crazy. The second prerequisite is to be thick-skinned. A gospel preacher must be crazy and not self-conscious. That is, he must be thick-skinned. Okay, do you guys like that? Okay, some people are dispositionally crazy. That's not what we're talking about here, you know? But we need to see something that makes us crazy. I got to tell you, when I was in New York, there was this guy that I saw in multiple places in New York, and to see people in different places in New York City, that's not that common, you know what I mean? There's a lot of people there. But he would go around and he would just be shouting, "Glory, glory, glory! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus!" Literally. He's crazy, you know? And I thought he was really, really just crazy, you know? Until one of my friends went up and started talking to him. He met him in some place. And actually, he might have been a little crazy. But he was touching real joy, and he had a certain sobriety to him. He was a rational person, in other words. We need to be a little crazy. But then, likewise, you need to be thick-skinned. So when I was, I rode for a long time, and I had these mean callus on my hands. You could actually, like, I could grab a knife, and you could, like, hang on that knife, and my callus was so thick that it wouldn't rip through my hand. So you need to be thick-skinned. Because when somebody rejects you, just let it go, you know what I mean? Just don't be affected by it. Actually, that'll be a great salvation to you, to be thick-skinned. But it gets built up, you know what I mean? First rejection, second rejection, third rejection. Just get used to it. It's good for you. Remember vitamin G. Actually, you know what? Actually, okay, I appreciate it. In Isaiah 53, you know, the Lord was despised, forsaken, betrayed. That's part of the package. If you don't get that in your Christian life, then you're missing out. You talk about living the Lord, you're joking. You know what I mean? That's part of it, is learn to be rejected. Learn it. Just learn to get denied. It's healthy. Okay. Let's read 9 together. Try to use a person's name when talking with them. Okay. The Lord knows his sheep. And he calls them by name, okay? We are interested in people. We care for people. People have names. I don't know any person that doesn't have a name. Learn to call people by their name. It shows a certain respect. It shows that you appreciate somebody. Don't you guys appreciate when somebody knows your name? Learn people's names. Actually, a little secret is that I was told at one point in business meet and greets, they say, when you meet somebody, if you can mention their name 3 times in your initial conversation, it's much more likely that you'll remember their name. So if I meet Ryan, I'm just speaking, "Hi, Ryan, I'm Paul." Where are you from, Ryan?
Gainesville.
Oh, that's great. I've been to Gainesville once before. Ryan, do you have a family? Great. Ryan, do you have a wife?
Yes.
Great. Do you have any children, Ryan? Okay. So I just mentioned his name like 5 times, right? So, You see, it's very easy, but try to learn somebody's name when you speak to them. Okay? Next point. Don't argue. Okay. Resist the temptation to argue just for the sake of arguing. We are looking for the sons of peace. If a person is not open, move on to the next. Arguing can, 1, leave someone with a negative impression of God and his people, 2, damage the Lord's future work in someone, and 3, negatively affect others who may witness the discussion. Okay, I majored in philosophy and psychology in undergraduate. The Lord is still saving me, okay? I used to love to argue. My family thought that I would be a lawyer. And no offense if anybody's in law school or a lawyer, you know, but I just loved to argue. And the Lord just had to deal with that. Learn to let people go. Actually, let people have the last word. Just let them win. Actually, when you try to take that bait and argue with somebody, you just entered into the wrong realm. And you just lost the opportunity. You may be right, but you're just going to be dead right. And that person may be dead, period. You know, you just might have cost that person eternal salvation. Okay, don't take that on yourself. But learn not to argue. Okay? Okay, let's read 11 together. Use gospel tracts. Okay, you know what the first principle about gospel tracts is? Have them on you. Okay? I just keep them all the time. I keep a tract on me, you know? And I'm not, point one, I'm not an evangelist, but I just always have a tract on me. So these ones, the Bibles for America tracts, they fit very nicely in your wallet. You can have them with you at all times. Learn how to present this to somebody in 5 seconds, in 30 seconds, in a minute. Present something. Tracts are very effective. Actually, there's some cool stories about a guy that used to, in England, who used to use tracts. He would ride the trains and he packs out tracts. And the conductor would come around, do you have your ticket? And he'd say, yes, I have my ticket. Do you have your tract? And he would give tracts all over the trains. Actually, tracts have been used for centuries, and they're very effective. So let's go ahead and read through these points of why gospel tracts are effective. One, not being limited by man speaking. Okay, so let's pause there. So you might not be that eloquent or not have that much utterance to convey what you have inside of you, but that's okay. That's why the words are on the tract. Okay, so your speaking is limited, but the tract's speaking is unlimited. Okay? Two, not being limited by age and status. Okay, so a lot of times when you speak to somebody that's older than you, it's a little awkward to perhaps speak to somebody that's twice your age, your parents' age. Let the tract do the speaking, okay? It also, well, anyways, on a campus, it might be wise not to engage too many professors, but anyways, different statuses you can give a tract to, and it won't be as awkward. So, next one, not being intimidated by human factors or the atmosphere. Next one, avoiding much debate. Next one, not being limited by time and persons. Next one, being able to be sowed anywhere. Next one, enabling all believers to function. Okay, so there's all kinds of interesting stories about tracts. This next one, next quote, we won't read it together, but it was somebody in China who, you know, a tract had been handed out. Somebody crumpled it up, threw it on the floor. Somebody else picked it up, stuffed it in their shoe in order to plug a hole, got home, pulled it out of their shoe, read the tract, and got saved. Okay? We all know, you know, Brother Ed, he's told the story a number of times, right? He found a tract in a laundromat, and he read it, and he got saved. And now I think we all can say we enjoy the ministry that comes out of that brother, you know? Tracts are very effective. Learn to have them. Learn to keep them. Learn to use them. They're very effective. Especially if you would kind of categorize yourself as a gospel chicken, I'd say you can go ahead and put yourself in that category now. But a year from now, after practice, I think you may have moved yourself out from that category, okay? We can all make advancement here. And tracts are a good, easy way. They're like the putting the ball. My son just got one of the T-balls. You know what I mean? Tracts are like T-ball. You can hit the ball every time. It's right there, right? Okay. Anyways, just leave it there. Okay, next point. Helping people to pray. When you sense a person is open in the course of your speaking to him, seize the initiative and say, "Let's pray." Instead of saying, "Would you like to pray?" There's a moment in the conversation when you sense a person is convicted. We should lead them to pray and not ask them to pray. Okay, so in the gospel, you have to be a little pushy. Honestly, you have to be a little pushy. Bold is a better way. But don't be too bold, you know what I mean? Otherwise, the cops may get called, okay? This is America. Other places, sometimes you can be very bold. Actually, some places you can just, I call it headlock gospel. It's just like, you're just praying with me right now, you know what I mean? But here, at a certain point, you realize when there's something going on in somebody, you realize there's something that's been sown in this person. There's some opening. Don't ask them. Just say, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I open to you. Don't try to formulate a complex prayer. Just pray whatever's in you. Lord, I love you. I receive you. Wash me of my sins. Just learn to lead them, okay? All right, next point. Touching the conscience. Okay. Let's go ahead and read the excerpt here. The gate of our spirit is our conscience. Most people first believe when their conscience is touched through the hearing of the gospel. Proper gospel preaching leads people to repentance and confession, which are matters of the conscience. When we repent and confess our sins to the Lord, we touch and open our conscience. Then the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience. Okay, so again, John 4. John 4 is just a beautiful example of how to preach the gospel. So the Lord Jesus, he's a good pattern, right? Okay, so he sets the pattern for how to engage somebody. So in the verses, you see that he talks to the Samaritan woman, says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not thirst nor come here to draw. Then he said to her, go, call your husband and come. Okay. At first you might say, how is this the conscience? Where's the conscience in here? Okay, he touched the matter with her husband. Because right after this we see she's had a number of husbands, and the one she's with is not her husband. So the Lord knew a proper time to touch what was which was sensitive related to her. Right? Your husband. At a certain point, you'll be talking to somebody. It's not that hard to read people, okay? You're talking to somebody, and you just realize this person is in something. You know what I mean? And the first thing you want to do, speak something of the Lord. Speak something of the truth. Speak something of the Word. But afterwards, when there's light, make sure you touch something of their conscience. How do you know you're a sinful person? And actually, this is not... a lot of the fog, the smoke screen that people will throw up is, well, what about that, child in Africa that didn't get to believe before he died? And where are they going to go? You don't want to say, no. What about your situation? What about your life of sin? Do you have sin? Have you rebelled against your parents in any way? Have you... there's a lot of other things, lists, you know what I mean? But learn to, at some point, get to their conscience. So that their conscience, just like our conscience is the gateway to our spirit, their conscience could be purified by the blood of Christ so that Christ could come in. So it that takes a little more finesse. Anyways, when you come... Sorry, the next point. When you come into contact with Christians... Okay, so a brother pointed out, a lot of times you're meeting brothers or sisters in the Lord. Actually, some will call themselves Christian, but you can quickly figure out they're not actually born again. They haven't received the Lord Jesus. But you will find many who are, and I would even say are dear brothers or sisters in the Lord. And we need to learn how to minister something of Christ. Remember, you've got a gospel. There's a Kellen. Is it Kellen? There's a Kellen gospel, okay? Not that you try to write a book or anything. But there's a gospel that's for you. Preach that gospel. Preach the gospel that was fresh to you. Minister that to somebody, okay? All right. 15. Front door, back door. Okay, let's read that together. Front door, back door. Okay. You guys get this? Front door, back door. Never let this escape you, okay? When we go out the front door to speak the gospel to people, the Lord will honor our faithfulness and bring people indirectly through other means. That is, through the back door. Okay, so Just be faithful. Even though you may not see any coming in, just keep going. Just keep going out. Ashley, when we take the Lord's word and we're faithful to it, He brings in through other means. Actually, that's His way of preserving us from getting proud. We just stay faithful. Lord, that commission, I just keep going out, going out, going out. You don't save anybody for a year. Well, start praying. What's wrong with me? But keep going out, you know? And the Lord will start bringing some in through the back door. Front door, back door. Okay. 16. Have an arsenal of verses and gospel stories. Let's read this together. The gospel must be powerful. You must pick up the stories in the gospel. Indeed, out of the 66 books of the entire Bible, the first four books of the New Testament are called the gospels. We should often exercise ourselves into the gospel stories until we are crystal clear within. You must be able to pick up any subject, such as the thorns, weeds, or robbers, etc., and speak right away. To be powerful, you should apply the Gospels in a living way, not like telling a story. Gospel preaching will be ineffective if it is merely a telling of stories. Preach to the point with life, with facts, and inspire, and the Gospel will be effective. Amen. So Ashley, if you guys have never seen these before, these tracts from BFA, these are very good, not only in terms of their content, their design and so forth, and they have an offer for a free study Bible on the back, but the story here is very good. It's succinct, it's to the point. You know, there's Jesus in your boat, there's now the word of the cross, there's, you know, the three parts of man. They're very good. So I would say not only carry them, but know what they say and learn how to speak that to somebody. Ashley, it's a good exercise just to learn to handle the word in a way like that. Just share something for 1 minute to somebody. Share something for 3 minutes to somebody. Ashley, you need to have like an elevator speech, right? I don't know if is that still a colloquial term here or anywhere? Elevator speech? You need to have something in you already that you can pull out to minister to somebody, okay? Let's read the next one. Believe in the power of the word. Okay, I don't think we have to read this. But the word is powerful, and it will not return to the Lord in vain or void. So we just learn. Sow. Actually, the more you sow, the more you'll reap. Just be those that are just speaking. Speaking Him everywhere, okay? Next point. Making a list. Both before and after you speak with people, it is helpful to have a list. This applies both to relatives, friends, and acquaintances, as well as to people you will meet. Pray over the list. Okay, I was intending to bring my list, but it's in my Bible, which when I travel, I just use my electronic stuff. But it's good to have a list. I still have a list. It's got about 45 people on it, you know what I mean? And you just keep a list. Those that you've contacted, okay, first, have a list of your acquaintances, of your friends, of those that you're burdened for, your relatives. And those should be really the first ones we should speak the gospel to. But then secondary is a list of people you meet, just ones that the Lord has put on your heart. I think Brother Nee's testimony is when he was in school, the Lord burdened him. He had a list of 70 people, and he just prayed over that list. And as the Lord brought them up within him, he just prayed for them. And over the years, every single one of those 70 people got saved. Actually, he got a lot of rebukes and a lot of rejections in the meantime, which helped him to get saved. But then every single one, all 70, got saved. I think the Lord is really just waiting for those people that will pick up this burden. Just amen it. And say, Lord, I will do it. Say this. Lord, I will do it. The next sentence is, Lord, I can't do it. Okay, let's practice. Okay. Lord, I will do it. Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I will do it. Lord, I cannot do it. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Okay, the more we're in these three prayers, the more help we'll get, okay? The last point, I really enjoyed this. Brother, I wanted to put this on here. Creating a thirst within man for God. Let's go ahead and read this together. We have to know why God has put us in the world. He has put us in the world so that our presence would create a hunger and thirst for righteousness in sinners, believers, and the world. In our work, we have to create a hunger within others. There must be an enigmatic freshness, power, nourishment, and supply within us that will drive others to seek after God by our presence. Others should have a desire to seek after God as a result of meeting us and speaking to us. If we always see others and communicate with them without creating a desire within them for God, it means that we have failed. If our reading of the Bible, prayer, service, and gospel preaching do not produce such a powerful hunger within man, our work has failed. Amen. We have to be hunger producers. I don't know if you guys, does this resonate with you, right? You've been around somebody, and you realize this is a hungry person. When you come around them, you just get hungry. You know, you ever go to a restaurant, and you're like, I'm not hungry, I'm just going to show up with others, and then all of a sudden you're eating, you know? Okay, we should be people that are producing hunger in others. Actually, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago when we were here, I went out with two brothers, Nathan and Chris Clark and Nathan. Anyways, we spoke to somebody for an hour. The first thing she said was, "I'm not interested. I'm just not interested." And you're like, "Okay, well, you know, just let us talk to you. Just give me a minute. Give us 2 minutes." An hour later, she was like, "Man, I just want to go back and read my Bible." You know, she just enjoyed it. We should be those that create hunger in people. If we're that kind of people, we'll produce that kind of people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, so now we're going to have some testimonies. So I think you know who you are, right? So maybe if you were going to plan on giving your testimony, you can come up to the front and stand together. And then after we do that, what we're going to do is we're going to have some time to practice. That is to break out and to kind of role play.
Hallelujah. I'd just like to give a kind of short testimony of experience that I had while preaching the gospel with my companion. I attend the training in Anaheim, and pretty much, really, I want to emphasize the principle of sowing and reaping. Me and my gospel partner, we before we went out, we prayed together, prayed for the oneness, prayed to be in spirit, and when we went out, we met this Buddhist named Farek, and after talking to him a little bit, he just basically told us, you know, a lot of Christians have come to me before and said that you need to get saved. I'm not ready to get saved yet. You know, I'll see you later. And we were like, okay, that's fine. But, you know, remember we told him, the reason why so many Christians keep coming back again and again to get you saved is because God chose you to get saved. Amen. And because God is faithful and he wants to get you saved, he won't stop until you get saved. Okay, have a nice day. We'll see you later. And so this was the beginning of fall semester. And we left on good terms. So actually throughout the entire two semesters that we've been there, we've seen him and we say, hi, how are you doing? And keep it short. We didn't spend a good 10 minutes talking to each other, but we still said hi to one another. And I could testify one day, During the spring semester, we were waiting for one of our appointments. We arrived on campus about 12, and we were meeting our appointment at 12:15. We sat down on the bench, and we see Farek come up. And we say, hi, how are you doing? And he just sits down right next to us and starts opening up his heart to us about how, you know, he's took on another job. He's feeling really stressful. He feels really empty inside. And we just told him, this is because God wants to get inside of you. And we preached to them a very short gospel, but we said, let's pray. Let's pray right now to receive the Lord. And so we said, hey, why don't you follow one of us? So one of us would pray one sentence, we would have him repeat. And then at the end, he got saved.
Amen.
And he told us that he felt like there was a great burden that was lifted off his shoulders when he believed into the Lord. And so just goes to show you, you know, when we first went to preach the gospel to him, we weren't discouraged when we didn't get him saved. You know, we just realized we're just sowing more seeds into him. And likewise, we realized that it's not just us sowing seeds, but it's all the ones who came before us that sowed the seeds. And even our saying hi to him later on, you know, hey, how are you doing? How's life? You know, that also was a sowing of the seed. It was nothing spiritual in those conversations, but because of that, he remembered us. And because of that, at the end, that's what allowed him, I guess, to feel comfortable enough to actually open up his situation to us, and eventually that led him to get saved. So I just was so appreciative of this point. You know, we just need to go and sow. Don't feel so, and not feel so, like, burdened that we need to get someone saved immediately on the spot in terms of instant gratification. We just need to realize that it's a labor. It's a labor, and we're just sowing seeds into these people. And one day, those seeds will be reaped.
Amen. My name is Carrie. I'm also in the full-time training in Anaheim. And one thing I really appreciated this term, or being in California, is a matter of prayer. So for me, like, this is my first time going on the gospel and, you know, getting in like a regulated schedule of preaching the gospel. And for me, it was just like my only experience was really in the college training. Like that 1 week, that was it. But in the full-time training, it's just like 3 times a week for like 20 weeks. So it was just like I had to get used to, you know, a regular schedule of contacting people and getting out of myself and getting out of my feelings and my mind and just doing it. So in the beginning, it was really like kind of a just a work. It was just like I have to do this. I have to just check this off that I contacted this many people, that I gave out this many Bible tracts. But I really, me and my gospel partner, this term we had an experience with, we were contacting one student, and there were some trainees who had contacted her before, and she was from Malaysia. She was from a Buddhist background, and she was from the background where it was just doctrinal knowledge. She had no belief in God, no experience of God. It was just teachings. And so for her, they've been meeting with her. When we met with her, they've been meeting with her for about a year. And she would not call on the name of the Lord. Like, she had such resistance in her. Like, something within her would not. She had no feeling to call on the name of the Lord. Whenever we would speak to her, she'd be open to meeting with us. But it's just like, whenever we mention the matter of calling on the Lord's name or would you like to pray with us, she would automatically just change the subject, try to do anything else but that. And so we kept praying and praying, and like within me I felt convicted because there were times when I was like, let's just stop talking to her and go to someone else that's more open. But she really enjoyed meeting with us. And so at that time, like, we just kept praying and praying and praying, and every time we would meet with her, we would share something with her, it'd be the same response. She didn't want to open up to us. You know, so after a while, we kept meeting with her. We kept contacting with her. And after the Memorial Day conference, me and another sister went to go pick her up. And my feeling was that she's not going to be open. You know, that was my feeling, which I, you know, at the time I felt bad for. But I just had that feeling like she's not going to be open. She's not going to be open to pray with us or to hear anything that we have to speak to her. At that time, her heart was so soft. Like, she was so open to everywhere we spoke to her. And so me and the sister, we just shared with her our enjoyment from the conference and just on the heavenly vision. And the speaking was so high to her, but everywhere we spoke to her, she was just lingering on it. You know, everything we spoke to her, she was just like her whole, like, you see, her whole being was just set on every word we spoke to her. And so at that time, like, we just, it's, I forget what point it is, but it said, like, just, you know, we shouldn't just wait to speak, you know, wait to ask someone, do you want to pray? You know, we should just jump in, right in, like, let's pray together. And we did that with her, and she opened up, like, completely, and, like, her, when we asked her to call the name of the Lord, it was so, like, sincere. Like, her whole being was just set, like, just everything was just like, I really want the Lord. You could see it and hear it in her prayer. And so now, like, she's meeting with the saints. But I just really appreciate even also the point on practicing. Like, now some of you, it's your first time preaching the gospel and everything, but Yeah, in the beginning it's scary, definitely. Like, you're not used to meeting new people and even going out and talking to people, and even just the matter of losing your face. Like, you have to lose your face and just go and just see, like, you know, this is what God's heart is. His heart is for man, you know. Like, one verse that I've really been appreciating is that God desires all men to be saved, right? Like, this is his wish. This is his desire. This is what he wants. So it's like we have to just join to him, you know, and just really just see, like, I'm co-laboring with the Lord on what's on his heart. Even the verse that really stuck with me on the college training from, was it a man of God? The verse that says, proclaim the word, be ready in season and out of season. You know, so many times, like for me, when I would go on the gospel, I'm thinking, okay, I need to wait for a feeling, right? I need to wait for the Lord to just speak something to me or something to rise up in me. And I realized that if you wait for a feeling, you're just waiting for a long time, right? You're just waiting for a feeling, and there's usually sometimes there's no feeling, but I realized, like, the Lord really showed me, like, the Spirit is always speaking. The Lord is always ready. He's ready to speak, so we just have to just cooperate with him. Amen. And I don't want to go too long.
Amen.
I don't want to
go too long. Amen. Hi, I'm Tracy. I am also at the full-time training in Anaheim. I guess I would say that I don't quite enjoy speaking to people very often, so this is actually quite frightening for me. But what I really enjoyed, some of the parts that for preaching the gospel, is learning to pray, not just after you meet someone, but even before you meet someone, even during the time you're talking to someone, and after. And so this experience that I've had the past term is that my gospel partner and I, we would pray before we went out to the gospel, and we would be really honest with the Lord. We would just tell the Lord, I'm deathly afraid to preach the gospel to someone. And we would just pray, like, Lord, give us someone to speak to, someone that would be open to hearing us. Or even somebody, you know, I don't know, not open, just whoever you want us to speak to. So we would always start by praying. And then we had an experience where we met a girl, and she was quite aggressive, and she was asking all these very difficult questions. And afterwards, I remember talking to my gospel partner later, and she was like, the whole time I was praying for you. So that's part of the reason why we go out in pairs, is that while we're together, one person speaking, the other is just praying for the other person. Right. So even while we're preaching the gospel, we were continually in prayer. Right. And then afterwards, if you get rejected, you pray for them. If they accept the gospel, you pray for them. Right. So you're always constantly in prayer. Right. And the other thing I wanted to touch on was just, this should all really issue out of your enjoyment. I came back home from the training, and I went to go hang out with my friends, and I thought we would just hang out, but they were like, wow, you're so happy now. And they wanted to just talk to me about the Lord. So I ended up talking to them for 3.5 hours about the Lord. And it's just because there's a joy there, and people want to know what it is. So we exercise our spirit, because you never know who wants to speak to you about it, too. So even after you leave the training, your friends may see you and be like, wow, you're so joyful. What did you do for a week? Be prepared to speak. Just pray and enjoy. Oh, and I wanted to share one verse with you guys for the people that are scared like me. And that verse is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. Amen. You may not feel like it, but you have a spirit of power. Amen. And amen.
Amen. So I'm James. I really want to confirm that also. So our gospel preaching really should be something of our enjoyment. It should be an issue of our enjoyment. So I kind of wanted to share with concerning being crazy and thick-skinned. Because, all right, in 1 Peter 1:8 it says, whom having not seen, you love, right? Into whom, though not seeing him at present, yet believing. You exalt with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, right? So what we want to do is bring this person we can't see, but we love and believe into, and bring this joy to others, right? So I just wanted to give a short testimony where I saw a gospel video on YouTube, The God-Shaped Vacuum. I was very inspired. So I studied it, you know, I practiced it and I went on campus and spoke it to somebody. And that person just was hearing me and he said, wow, that was very deep. You must have practiced it a lot. And I was kind of like, yeah, and I kind of happy. So we got his contact, he got our contact. He promised he'll call us back, but we never heard from him again. So I learned from that that it's not about our persuasive speech or persuasive words that we preach the gospel. Paul in 1 Corinthians 2 says, he did not come to the Corinthians with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. So what is the demonstration of the Spirit? Well, this term I just enjoyed going out with a group of saints and just singing to people. You know, when we sing to other people, we first touch our spirit, right? So we touch and enjoy the Lord in our spirit. And after we sing, you know, we would ask, you know, would you like to sing with us? Or we would explain what we just sang about. And we would lead them and usher them to their spirit. So that they would touch their spirit, or we would ask them to pray with us. So always take the initiative to pray with them and usher them to their spirit. Yeah, that's about it.
I just wanted to share on maybe two of these points. One was on having, well, it goes with practice, and on having gospel tracts. I've gotten out of the habit of it lately, of preaching the gospel, and I've actually noticed my level of joy dipping way down. So I'm so thankful for this fellowship to remind me, you know, our joy is made full by bringing people to our God. So I used to, and I want to start again, just carry around tracts everywhere, give them out to, you know, person at the gas station, my server, whoever I came across. And one instance where I forgot to have a tract, I was actually in the third year of the training in Boston, and I was actually supposed to be out on the gospel, but I just did not want to. And I was sitting in the cafeteria, and the Lord goes, go talk to that girl. And I was like, no. And he said, go talk to that girl. And I was like, Lord, I really don't want to. She's studying. Leave me alone, you know. And he said, go talk to her. And I was like, I don't have a tract. But thankfully, another girl walked up who had a tract. So I was a chicken that day, and I just ran up, and I kind of was like, here. You know, I did that number. And she turns it over, and she goes, is this about the Bible? And I said, yes. And she goes, I love the Bible. Me too. Got her number. We didn't meet for 2 weeks. Usually if you don't meet in like 2 days, they never talk to you again. We got together 2 weeks later. We read through Philippians. Ends up she's from Italy. And anyway, we've been in contact. I haven't contacted her in a little bit because her work schedule changed. But she came to London with me to give out Bibles. But it was because, well, one, the Lord is faithful and more stubborn than me. Hallelujah. And number two, gospel tracts, because I was too scared to talk to her that day. And then, I had another one. Maybe I'll just, I don't know. Oh, the power of the word. So we all get scared to go out on the gospel, even if you've done it a lot. Sometimes you get scared. I really appreciated the sister bringing out that verse about having a spirit of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. I would just encourage you, pray over these verses and these hymns that we have, even in reference to the gospel, like, I am not ashamed of the gospel. You may be quaking in your boots, but you start praying that, you're going to go, you know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And pray over the lines in the hymns that say, if we will speak, Christ will witness in the hearts of men. He will do it. And speak the word, it will not return unto him void. If we even speak these to ourselves, we defeat the enemy, and then we have boldness to go out and preach the gospel. And just one last thing, one time I went, I didn't want to speak the gospel again, spoke to this girl, we got her story, and we had given her a Mystery of Human Life tract. But as she spoke her story, I went, nope, she needs the purple one, Lost and Found, about the prodigal son returning. And she read through that and cried and prayed to receive the Lord. So having these gospel tracts, knowing what's on them, and just being ready. Amen.
Okay, so, amen. Thank you, saints, for your sharing. We're going to momentarily give you some opportunity to practice a little bit together with one another, just speaking from a tract. Actually, I think Paul is going to get some of those tracts so you can look over so you can be familiar with them before we go out tomorrow. So.